This is
Fight Disciples.
Welcome to podcast number 438. This is part three of Brits Abroad on UFC Fight Island. It's dedicated to the world of mixed martial arts. Obviously, with us being on Fight Island, we're going to be getting stuck into all things UFC. If it's the first time you've ever come across us, you can get us on iTunes. Fight Disciples is what you're looking for, and our website is fightdisciples.com. Everything's on there, from links to social media sites, links to our shop where you can go and buy proper tackle beer. That's right, we have our own beer of which you can buy to enjoy the fights with of a weekend. Go there, all the links are there for you, and also all the links to the podcast, which is the most important thing, podcast and YouTube. If you hit that up, subscribe to everything that we're doing, you'll never miss out on any of our boxing content. You've got confused with the days, haven't you, Nicholas? You just asked me what day it is today and what programmes are we doing. Are we doing some boxing stuff? Why were we doing boxing stuff? It's the day before Habib versus Gaethje, and you want to preview next week's boxing, which is Halloween. We'll do that when we get on, mate. We've got plenty of time to think about that.
Yeah, I was getting giddy already. I'm excited about Usyk versus Chisora, though. I can't lie. But yeah, bring me back in the room. Zip, back in the room. And we've just been the weigh-ins, haven't we? We just got back from the weigh-ins this morning. We did a live weigh-in show for BT Sport, which was cool as fuck. We covered a multitude of topics. But before we talk about the scales and what we've seen and our final thoughts on the big fight, I think we've got to start by talking about Leon Edwards, haven't we?
Have we?
We're going to have to. We're going to have to.
Yeah, over the last 24 hours, I'm sure if you're into your MMA and you follow various people on social media, you will have seen a rumour going round that Leon Edwards has been removed from the welterweight rankings. Despite the amount of successive wins that this lad has, only second to Kamaru Usman, who is the current champion, obviously, at welterweight, he hasn't been able to get himself or secure himself a shot at a world title or a world title eliminator. Now, of course, the pandemic has played a massive role in this because he was due to fight Tyron Woodley in March in London. Yep. Pandemic hit. Everything fell off and loads of different things have happened back and forth in order to keep Leon Edwards out of the octagon. But the more that you speak to people connected to the UFC, the more you kind of think that the reason why he's been out of the octagon for such a long period of time is actually down to his own fault. You know, he's been offered fights. He's decided that he didn't want to take those fights. And it lands us in a bit of a situation where now he's in this weird negotiation period with the UFC for a fight, which has kind of left us now over the last 24 hours learning that they've used his inactivity as a means as to eliminate him from the welterweight rankings. And you were passionate about it on the show that we've just done. Nobody can. It doesn't matter what you say, doesn't matter what I say, doesn't matter what Dan Hardy says, doesn't matter what anybody else says right now. This is Leon Edwards' career. And he's watching it slip through his fingers right now. From building himself to the situation that he's built himself into, he's got to take control. We can bang the drum for him as much as you want, but you've got to do it for yourself. And at the moment, he's not doing that.
No, he isn't doing it all. You know, and his silence is golden. Unfortunately, this is a...
Well, it's not golden, is it? His silence is not golden. That's
no,
the problem.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. His silence speaks volumes, unfortunately, is what I should say. But this has become a factor in Leon's career. How many times have we spoke on this podcast about how incredibly talented Leon is, but how incredibly disappointing he is when he gets a microphone put in his face? He's never at any point took control of his career in the manner that... Listen, not everyone can be Conor McGregor.
No.
Not everybody's got the personality of Darren Till. Not everybody can do what, you know, Mike Perry does or whatever it may be, you know, who have these outlandish kind of lives. Listen, I respect Leon for the way he is. You know, he's a lot more family orientated. He's been brought up in a way where you respect opponents and you don't call people out. Listen, I've been there, man. I lived this 10, 15 years ago with Terry Etterman in the UFC. Couldn't get him to call anybody out. And unfortunately with Leon is, his talent has got him to where he is. Top three, top four welterweights on the planet. Regardless of what the rankings say, Leon Edwards is one of the best welterweights in the world. But unfortunately, he doesn't come with anything else. He doesn't sell. He doesn't resonate with fans. He doesn't sell pay-per-views. Mm. And he doesn't rock the microphone. And by when we say rock the microphone, we're not just saying that from a selfish point of view, because we, as members of the media, like, fucking hell, give us something to work with. What I mean is, he's not in control of his own destiny.
Yeah.
He's an independent contractor. That's what he is. The UFC make money off him. It's up to him to make money off the UFC. But if you're just turning up when the UFC say here, there, and this is how much you're going to get paid, if you don't take control of that and go, right, I've done that now, now I want this.
Mm.
And by rock the microphone...
He's operating like an employee.
Exactly.
And he's not.
No, he is not.
He's the CEO of Leon Edwards Limited. That's what he is. And that's how he should be operating.
And the weird thing is, he gets it in one way, because he is turning down fights. He's not just taking whatever the UFC put on the table for him. If we're what we're led to believe is the Wonderboy fight was on the table with a camp, no complaints.
Well, hang on, even before that, because he had the Woodley fight fall off.
Yes,
Burns steps in, totally out of his control, and we were all on board saying, listen, he needs to be looked after. It's not his fault. Everything that's going on right now, lots of uncertainties. Do you fly to America? Do you take a risk? Do you get locked out of the country? All those things were going on back in March, and he made a decision for him and his family. Sound? I'm cool with that, right? But then we have Fight Island Part 1, and if you remember, he even admitted on a live show that we did on BT Sport, he was offered the title shot. Correct. And he said he couldn't get ready in time. That's what he said.
Yeah.
So therefore, Gilbert Burns then steps in to fight Kamaru Usman. So Leon even confirmed that the UFC offered him Usman in July.
Yes.
And he turned that down. That doesn't wash well with the big boys at the UFC.
Especially a title shot. Especially,
that when you're making the noise, that's what I want. I want a title shot. You've been offered it. There you go.
And listen, no one can get into gyms. No one can train the way they want to train, but the sport has kept moving forward. Now we're led to believe that he was offered Stephen Wonderboy Thompson, and he's turned it down because he said, well, if I beat Stephen Wonderboy Thompson, gets me no closer to the title. I agree with you, Leon. But who else are you going to fight? Because all the other top contenders are tied up.
Mm.
What's clear is they're not just going to drop you straight into a title fight. You're going to have to beat someone again. And listen, he's beat more than most. He's won enough. He's beaten enough perennial contenders to justify getting that shot. But he got the shot and turned it down.
Yeah.
Now they're saying, okay, beat Wonderboy then. Remind everyone, including the fans, of who you are. Do a clinic on Wonderboy. Chances are you're going to be in the conversation. They won't make a commitment to Leon. They'll make a commitment to a Till or a Connor or someone who pushes the needle. Beat him, you'll get a title shot. They can't do that with Leon because the show might flatline.
Well, look at what's happening, right? Because it's looking highly likely that they are going to make Masvidal and Colby in this division. They'll be guaranteed a title shot.
There you go.
Why? Because they both pushed the needle. There you go.
They both generate pay-per-view sales.
Even though they both
fought Usman in the last 12 months.
Correct.
12, 15, 18 months, whatever it is.
12 months, yeah.
So Leon has got to get himself in that position. How do you get in that position? When you can't rock the microphone like a Conor McGregor or whatever, how do you get in that position? You get in there with a Stephen Wonderboy Thompson, who every fan appreciates and respects, and you whip his butt. You kick his ass. You make mincemeat of him, and then you go to the UFC. Or on the microphone, I'm the guy. Why am I still waiting? I'm the guy. And then it allows us, the media, and the fans to go, why the fuck is Rocky Edwards still waiting? Why is he still waiting? But he turns Wonderboy down.
Mm.
Now we're led to believe he put Chimaev on a plate for him. Listen, on paper, Chimaev, of course, it doesn't make any sense. The guy's had 3 fights in the UFC. Not one's gone further than 1 round. He's an absolute killer. He's got loads of momentum behind him. And he's unranked. Why should Leon Edwards risk his ranking? I'll tell you why. Because if he doesn't, he isn't fucking ranked anymore. And that's exactly what's happened. The UFC have gone, lad, this is your 3rd fight. We offered you the champion. No. We offered you the name, a guy who main events regularly. No. Now we're giving you the hottest guy in the sport. No. Do you know what? Maybe you just don't want to fight anymore. That's the UFC's attitude. If I'm working for the UFC, I can understand where they're coming from.
Mm.
What I want to understand is, where's Leon coming from? Why is Leon turning down all these fights? Because every time we see him, he's like, man, I just need my opportunity. I just need to fight. And we both know Leon Edwards on his day could be the best welterweight in the world. On his day, he's on fire. I can't remember that. He hasn't fought in a year, whatever it is. 15 months now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It'll be, even if he gets a fight in January, it'll be 18 months since Leon Edwards last competed. You can't remain ranked and a top contender and somebody, everyone's going, he needs a title fight. Unless you're fighting, unless you're performing.
Mm.
I just don't understand what's going through his mind, man. And listen, I'm at the point now where I'm starting to think, is Leon's management trying to get him out of the UFC? Because for me, that's what they're doing. Are they orchestrating it so he signs with Bellator, and then Bellator can do Leon and his brother in a main event in Birmingham, the two brothers, the homecoming.
That's a bad move.
Do whatever you want to do, man.
It's a bad move.
And you know what? I think Leon probably wins the welterweight title in Bellator.
Yeah, but of course he does. Of course he does.
I think it's a waste.
Of course it's a massive waste. Why would you want to go and do that? Now, listen, I appreciate at the end of the day, these guys, are the guys that are fighting. They're the ones that are making the walk. And they've got to be recompensed financially. They've got to be looking after their families and various things like that. Of course there is. But the whole rhetoric for the last 18 months has been about the glory. It's been about becoming the best in the world, but about becoming the UFC champion. You become the Bellator champion. Mm-hmm. So what? No offense, but so what? Nobody cares. Nobody cares about Bellator. Let's be honest. The best welterweights, the best fighters in the world are in the UFC.
Correct.
And you are there right now. It's there. But it's slipping through your fingers. I don't know who's advising him. I don't know. I personally don't think it's him. I think he's looking to somebody else or a group of people that are looking after him. He's asking advice, and I just think he's getting bad advice. Because it has to be. You can't go this period of time and for this situation to now arise. Why not take Usman? Why not take it? Don't give me this, gyms are short, I couldn't get ready enough. It's the same for every person all over the planet. The whole planet was like that.
Yeah.
And we've been saying this time more than any other time for any fighter on the planet, boxing or UFC, stay ready so you don't have to get ready. It's not hard. Because fights have fallen off left, right, and centre. We've just been at a weigh-in where a guy...
Three guys.
Well, there were three guys, but I'm talking about the title event, right? Uh-huh. So the main event that has narratives from the champion of missing weight and various things like that and fights falling off and all this type of carry-on. We had a guy weigh in today, kind of knowing full well that he was not going to fight at the weekend, but he still went through the process. He's flown halfway across the world as an American. Michael Chandler, flown halfway across the world, landed his ass in Abu Dhabi, done all media all week, made himself relevant, given us an impression. I mean, everybody remembers 3 weeks ago when I said he's going to last in the Shark Tank. He won't beat anybody in the top fives at 155. I might still think that, but I want him to beat him just because of what he's done this week. When Michael Chandler's name is now mentioned on a fight, I'm going to talk about him because I like the guy.
Yep.
He's got whatever it is. And he has flown halfway across the world, weighed in for a fight that's not going to happen at the weekend.
Made championship weight.
Everybody, look at us now. We're still talking about him.
Yeah, yeah.
He's not even fighting this weekend. Mm-hmm. That's what you do. That's the other side of the game that you have to consider when you are participating with the UFC. That's all Rocky had to do. He's beaten the RDAs. He's beaten Gus. He's beaten these guys. He's gone on this mega run. The last person to beat him is the champ.
Yep.
The narrative's there. All you had to do, get on the mic and say, right, this is what's happening. I'm going to fight X, Y, Z, whatever it may be. And then back that up. You're good enough. Why not take Usman? I don't get it. I just don't get it. Whoever gave him the advice at that point, hold your horses. We need a full camp. This is what you've worked for. Let's get ourselves in that position. Wrong move. It was the wrong move at the time we said it.
Exactly.
This is not a hindsight thing. When the fucking opportunity knocks on your door, you open the door, man.
Both hands. Absolutely. Look at Khabib, man. Khabib's the biggest star in UFC right now. Biggest star in mixed martial arts. Dana pulled the figures out the other day. He is an absolute global superstar. He's not been able to go to AKA to prepare to defend his title. He's had to do it in Dubai with his wrestling buddies, his teammates, the lads he grew up with, his inner team. Don't get me wrong. They're a shit hot team, I'm sure. But he's had to do something outside of his comfort zone and what he usually does.
Mm.
All without his head coach, his father, who passed away. If anybody had a reason to pull out of a fight, it's him. Or to turn a fight down, it's Khabib. He's got way more to lose than Leon Edwards has got to lose fighting for the title. If you fight for the title and you lose, so what, man? You're still right up there. Now you found yourself being thrown out of the UFC. He's going to end up, if he's not careful, he's going to end up at Bellator, which, as we said last week, it's glorified banner. He's going to end up over there, and guess what? The poster boy from Bellator, the three-time champ from Bellator, the best fighter Bellator have ever had, is fucking here making weight for a fight that was never going to happen, Michael Chandler. That gives you a little bit of levels about where the sport is. Bellator is a massive step down, and if Leon Edwards is being advised by people to take a step down, Leon, change your fucking advisors, brother.
With you. It's frustrating because we know how good he is. That's why we're getting ranty.
We like the kid.
Absolutely,
I love Leon Edwards.
Man. Absolutely.
He's a wicked fighter. And you know what? The times we've spent with him in front of camera and especially off camera, you want him to win. He's a top, top lad. And you want Leon Edwards to win. And that's why we're so upset. That's why we want this sorting quickly. We want him back in the rankings.
Yep.
We want him to win. I want to see him whip Wonderboy more than anything. I want to see Leon Edwards go in there and start Chimaev. Because guess what? No one will deny Leon Edwards then. You don't need the UFC to go, good performance that, mate. We might give you a title shot. Because guess what? The entire planet will go, that Chimaev, eh? Fucking hell, Leon Edwards showed what a real contender's all about. When's Leon's title fight again, UFC? The fans will do it for you.
Mm. It's anyway, let's get on to this weekend, shall we? And the reason why we're in on Fight Island in Abu Dhabi. 254. Fucking hell, my ass were going last night. I'm telling you, I was thinking to myself, please just be on weight. Please just be on weight. First out the gate this morning, Khabib, 155. But I tell you something, fucking hell, it must have been a push because the relief on his face once that scale topped 155, you could see it all over him. I've never seen him like that. I've seen him struggle, hit the weights before, obviously tiramisu gate and all that type of carry on. But to see the relief in his face, jeez, mate. That were a tough cut for him last night.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
But I think it always is for him.
It is always because he's a massive 155, but of course. And I think the other thing to look at, if that happens in the last 5 minutes of the two-hour window that they get to weigh in, it's completely different. I'm like, oh, shit, that guy is a nightmare. I think whether Dan was right on the broadcast, we were talking about scales being off backstage and everything else, that might have been an element. But the fact that he weighed in first on the scales, I think it was more, not necessarily a, oh, shit, I thought I might have missed. I think it was more of a, oh, shit, I'm glad the last 5 hours are out the way. Brilliant.
No,
get me a drink. Let's go. I'm good to go. I don't think we can look too much into it.
No, absolutely not.
Because he weighed in first. He got it done. And I think it was just a little prayer to the heavens to go, yeah, man, you answered me prayers from the last 4 or 5 hours where I've been grinding away. It's off. It's done. Boom. Let's go. It's go time, baby.
Yeah.
So I don't think it'll impact on his performance whatsoever. And then, of course, Gaethje just rocks in, makes weight like a piece of piss. Not a kid in the world. And you're just like, these guys are ready to go, man.
There is going to be a size difference, though, because Gaethje makes weight easily because he walks around very, very close normally anyway. It's not a massive weight cut. We spoke to Trevor Whitman about that situation, his head coach, didn't we?
Yeah.
Whereas Khabib is cutting a lot of weight. He rehydrates and does balloon up.
He does.
So therefore...
But Gaethje was taller, though. Gaethje was taller when he did a head-to-head.
He was, but come on, look at the size of Khabib's back, mate.
That's it.
Fucking massive.
Tomorrow, Khabib turns into a Dorito, doesn't he? His waist and his shoulders look small today. Tomorrow, he'll look like a swimmer. Small waist, massive, big, broad shoulders. His arms will fill up, his biceps, his triceps will fill a liquid. He'll look like the much stronger fighter tomorrow. And that's what he's all about, isn't he?
Mm.
He's all about changing levels, getting down low, using that explosive speed. Oh, man, I cannot wait. It is. Someone commented, and it's like Christmas Day. It feels like Christmas Day. It's weird. Yeah,
it's going to be unbelievable.
And we've got the best seats in the house.
Well,
woohoo!
We need to tell people about this, right? So today, we've rocked up at, so obviously, this is the first time I've been down to the arena. They call it the Flash Forum down there, and it's literally purpose-built.
Yeah.
So last year, it was purpose-built for 242, but it was a big, massive gazebo tent out in the middle of nowhere, right? It was hot as fuck.
It was like something out of what's it called, wasn't it? Like a cream field type thing, you know, big festival type.
It was Glastonbury, weren't it?
That was the one I was trying to get to.
You went clean fields where everybody's dropping
proper
pills.
Scouse.
Yeah, fair,
proper
scouse. Fair enough. But the air conditioning were all out of sync last year. There was loads of struggles in building to the event because at the moment over here in Abu Dhabi, they're building a purpose-built stadium and I believe it's ready. I believe it's ready to rock and roll. But at the time last year, it most certainly wasn't. So therefore, they had to erect this big tent in the middle of nowhere. And obviously fans and all that type of stuff were around the event. This one, I mean, it's only around the corner from our hotel and it's just literally in the middle of a car park, isn't it? They put this thing up in the middle of the car park. We went into it for the first time today. So they've got a media bit. You walk in, front door, media. Everybody's there where all the interviews are and the weigh-ins and all that type of stuff carrying on today. And then just a little bit down the walkway, you can go into the Flash Forum. But not everybody's allowed into that Flash Forum, obviously, with the social distancing situation. So only people that are going to be in that Flash Forum or invited guests, dignitaries obviously from Abu Dhabi and the Emirates, royal families and various things like that. We know that Justin Gaethje's parents are going to be in there. Obviously, Dana, anybody working on that event, so your commentary teams and stuff like that, and the fighters. It is like the Thunderdome, right? Yeah. That's what it is. It's like Mad Max has made this thing and just dumped it in the middle of the Abu Dhabi desert. And then there's us two. Because we are doing live radio broadcast for TalkSport from 7 p.m. So we're doing the whole main card, right? Ankalaev, Kutalabaro kickers off 7 p.m. on TalkSport. And then obviously we'll have the cherry on top of the cake at the end of the night, the lightweight championship between Khabib and Justin Gaethje. So today was the first time that we got taken down there. So he rocks up, we does our TV show, and I said, right, I need to test the equipment, make sure that we can get on the radio and whatever. And they take us into this place.
I'll be honest, I was expecting a bar stool type table, a couple of high bar stool chairs at the back wall, you know, listen, just socially distanced, like, you know, probably about 30 feet from the octagon, but, you know, out the way of the production teams and everything else. And I'd have been cool with that. I'd have been absolutely cool with
that. Yeah, absolutely. I expected it to do it maybe from the media room on a monitor. That's what I were expecting to do. Anyway, we're basically in the blue corner. So when the lads make the walks tomorrow, just look at the back of the fence. You'll see our little mugs, right? I've coloured our microphones, so we've got green microphones, so you'll be able to see us. So if you can see us popping up in the back, going wild. In fact, whatever feed you are listening to, I know that you're hopefully going to be listening to the radio broadcast of this whilst you're watching the pictures from BT Sport Box Office, of course. But if you do decide to listen to DC and the gang, they're only sat next to us. So they literally are sat next to us. We're at the end of their table.
Yeah.
So you'll probably hear us on the ESPN broadcast. So if you're one of our American listeners right now, that's where we're going to be tomorrow.
Absolutely.
Literally.
So we're DC,
we're
going to
get
John
Alec. Sweat on us. That's what we're
going to do. We're DC, John Alec. I think it's Michael Chiesa on comms for ESPN. Where they are sitting, we are literally on a table directly to their right.
Next to DC.
Less than 3-4 feet away. We've got our own commentary table with our own monitor. It's mad, isn't it? Two Northerners. Got our own monitor. You can touch the apron. That's how close we are. So where you're watching on TV, sorry, when you see the commentary team from the US, we are directly to their left the way you're looking.
Yeah.
To their left. As Adam said, we're basically in the blue corner. So, man, it's going to be absolutely mental.
You're not going to miss it. You're not going to miss us anyway.
We're going to get told off left, right and centre by the ESPN production crew for making too much noise. I guarantee it. Otherwise, we haven't done our job.
No. Well, do you remember that time when I nearly got thrown out of the media centre? When it was the fight at UFC London when Danny Roberts allegedly verbal tapped. And I was fucking throwing my table all over the place and I got escorted to the back. You can't stay here now. I missed the main event. I had to watch it from the back. No, I can't wait, mate. It's going to be unbelievable. And just to be, I mean, when you think about it, and this is obviously maybe getting a little bit self-indulgent now, but everybody that's been listening to us and been with us on this podcast journey for the last 4 and a bit years, you know where we started. We were just having a little bit of a crack and a little bit of a mess about, and you've been with us and we've had some fun and hopefully we've provided a little bit of entertainment along that ride for you. But when you actually, we walked away from the Flash Forum tonight, right? Bear in mind, we've got shorts and t-shirts, shades on, masks, right? That's what's going on right now. Backpacks on, just trotting back to the hotel in 40 degree heat. And there were a moment where both of us, near enough at the same time, just stopped and went, this is actually fucking happening. This is real.
this is mental.
We are now, we're calling a fight on international radio, sat next to the international broadcast of that former heavyweight and light heavyweight world champion Daniel Cormier. And we're sat next to him, calling a fight, the most hotly anticipated fight the world of MMA will see this year.
It is kind of mental, seeing as the way, four and a half years ago, we were chatting on Drive Time on a regional radio station.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, man.
And we've just been on the piss all week, you know what I mean? So we better go and make some notes.
That. Fucking hell. The graft is real. The graft is real, man. And listen,
he says scratching his balls in my hotel room wearing a Dennis, wearing his swim trunks and his Dennis Rodman Chicago Bulls. Fucking best.
Beach ready.
He's literally ready. Right. He knows full well that I've got to film something in a minute. But he's come to my room, knocks on the door, come in. He said, right, come on, let's get this done. I've got to go to the beach. So we're doing the podcast so he can fuck off for the rest of the day.
Beach ready.
You've got to get yourself in the right headspace, haven't you, to commentate tomorrow
night?
Well, that's
it. You know, when I go for it, I'll be swimming in the ocean, might have a little go on the jet skis, have a little cheeky beer. But all the time, it may look like I'm on holiday. But in the back of my mind, I'll be formulating some magic to say on air tomorrow.
Were you doing that last night when you were dressed in full Arab gear?
Yes, I tell you what, that was cracker, wasn't it? Listen, I've had a Lebanese meal before in Dubai when I was on my honeymoon with my missus, and it was the only time in 40 odd years on this planet I've ever walked out midway through a meal. It was that horrific. But the meal last night was fucking tremendous, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Absolutely
well,
beautiful.
You said you said that you'd never had meat like it. You said that it's the best meat that you've ever had in your mouth. That's what you said, didn't you?
I've never had beef cooked on a skewer as delicious as that. Because I'm quite funny with beef anyway. I very rarely eat steak because people always burn steak. But if I go to a decent steakhouse once, twice a year, I might go on and give me a rare steak. because most
a rare one.
Yeah, rare, medium rare, depending on the locale.
Okay.
Rare or medium.
You just like it seared, do you? Just
I like it literally just yeah, I like it cold in the middle, nice and bloody. But that last night I thought, Bob, I'm gonna give that a miss. Skewered beef, no thanks. But then Kev, who is does the socials for BTE, come back and was like, oh, my God,
he had meat
it's
sweats.
The best beef of my life. And I was like, oh, okay, I'll have to have a go now.
He doesn't talk like that, by the way.
But well, he was that excited.
All right, okay.
That was third or fourth helpings for Kev, I think it was.
Oh, he filled his boots, mate. He has not stopped as the lad. He thinks he's on an all-inclusive.
The kid can eat, let me tell you.
He's what your nan would describe as a good eater.
Yeah, absolutely.
He's a good eater.
But it was a good night, wasn't it? It was a good night to be soaking up the culture.
Yeah. We left after a couple of hours because it was a dry bar. Obviously, we're out here in Abu Dhabi. We wanted to pay respects to the locals that were putting that party on for us last night. So we got dressed up in all the gear. And the last thing that they wanted is some publicity shot or two pissed up northerners with a couple of bottles or something or other dressed in local attire. So we went up, we had a couple of fruit juices and a bit of water.
We paid our dues, we did the 2 hours,
yeah,
and then we went out.
No, listen, it was great, and it was starting to die down, actually, after a couple of hours, after the meal and what have you. But we legged it back to the hotel, got out of the tackle, didn't we, and got ourselves a nice rum and coke and a bit of gin and tonic just to see us off. It helps sleep, that's what I put it down to.
Me too, yeah.
Especially with this heat. It helps.
It's too warm.
It's medicinal.
It is, absolutely.
Medicinal purposes.
What are them buckets of beer? Are they medicinal, the buckets of beer on the beach that they're waiting for us this afternoon?
Have you noticed, right? The buckets of beer here, they come in fives. So you can buy a bucket of five bottles of beer, Heineken's or Corona's or whatever they may be, and they're 99 dirham, right? But we've been back that often. They've started putting an extra one in there because they've seen us arguing over the fifth beer. So they go, just give them six. So it's three each.
Just give them six,
yeah.
I'm sure in the bar the other day as well, he went, no more Corona.
No, we drank it out.
We wiped out Corona in the whole Crown Plaza.
We wiped it out. That's mainly because we kicked off at the price of Peroni out here.
Yeah,
we treated ourselves to a couple of Peronis, didn't we? And they were a tenner a pint, son.
£10 a pint.
Fuck that. Shit, that bed.
Where's proper tackle when you need it? That's
exactly,
all
that's what we need to get that on the pump.
Absolutely. I'll tell you what I did have on today at the... during that live show as well, the weigh-ins this morning, I had my Manscaped boxer shorts on.
Yeah, but you didn't show anybody that, did you?
No, obviously, I'm not going to whip my bills out in the middle of an international broadcast, am I? But yeah, I had my Manscaped. Listen, I was at the Manscaped shaver out this morning before we went.
Well, do you know that we mentioned, obviously, Ben Chiliberti's name the other day, Chili, on the show, and he's been moaning that he's not been getting a mention on the official Fight Disciples podcast for some time. Well, he's had two now this week.
Yeah.
I just want to call him out because he asked to borrow my Manscaped razor, which I think is a little bit weird, isn't it?
You can't do that. Listen, I'll give him the address later. Manscaped.com.
Yeah.
Fight 20.
Yeah.
20% discount code. Yeah. Get stuck in there, Ben. He needs it, to be honest.
He's a hairy man.
He's like a little hairy wombat, isn't he? With all due respect to Chili, he's like a little Australian hairy wombat. And he could do with a serious manscaping.
Just kidding everybody on this show this
he
week.
He could do with a serious... He is back, sack, crack and rack. He really is. He'd probably have to charge midway through. No one's chilly. He's that hairy.
He'd have to come back.
Absolutely.
New batteries, please. I've run out.
Of course. No doubt.
Yeah, manscaped.com. Get yourself on there. Fight 20. They don't... I know it says Manscaped, but I know that we've got some female listeners if you fancy getting involved, because at the end of the day, you know what I mean? Hair grows all over the gaff, doesn't it?
Of course. Trim that bush. Too far.
Give me a minute. I'll be back. Trim that bush. Fucking lunatic. Yeah, on the co-main event, yeah? Quickly, because people want to actually talk a little bit about UFC. We've gone in on the main. Co-main event. Big statement from Cannonier. 185, man. He didn't need the extra pound that he was allowed. He just went 185. Bang, I'm on championship weight.
He did, man. And that really impressed me because obviously it sends a message to Israel Adesanya. I was a heavyweight. I was a decent light heavyweight. I'm a killer middleweight. And before you talk about it, boom, I've done championship weight as well when I didn't need to. However, one thing I did notice at the end, after we finished doing the BT show and they did head-to-heads at the end, Whittaker was bigger than Cannonier.
Yeah, he is.
Now, I'm going to be interesting tomorrow to see how big Cannonier is inside the octagon. We'll definitely mention it on the live broadcast because I want to see how big Cannonier goes overnight once he's fully hydrated and everything else, puts all that fuel back into his body. But Robert Whittaker is bigger than Jared Cannonier. Mm. Now, if you'd have said that to me yesterday before we seen him go head-to-head, we've been around him this week, and I said, it's not even close, man. Cannonier is massive. He is a massive middleweight. But it just reminded me today, shit, Whittaker's a massive middleweight. Mm. I put Cannonier for a heavyweight, then light heavyweight before he came down to middle. I've kind of put him on this pedestal of being the biggest, scariest guy in this weight division. But he actually isn't. Mm. He actually isn't the biggest, scariest guy at all.
Shorter fight as well. 15 minutes, not 25 minutes. Robert Whittaker ready for a sprint. I think it plays into his hands, actually, yes. The shorter fight.
Yes.
Finally, Nathaniel Woods hit 140. It's a catchweight fight.
He took a long time, man.
He did.
He was at least 90 minutes late on the scales. He's one of the last to weigh in.
Yeah.
And he's fighting
a proper tiger, isn't he?
It's just not a good sign. You know, they offer him the fight. He says, I'll take the fight, but I can't do it at 135. It'll have to be at a catchweight at 140. UFC agree. Kenny agrees. Kenny comes in. It's a bang on. Nathaniel needs 19 minutes. You know, this is a huge fight for Nathaniel Wood to get back to where he once was, to get back right amongst it, on the cusp of a ranking. And nothing but 100% is going to do it. So I hope I'm looking too much into it, but I just didn't like the way he was so late to the scales.
Thank you very much for listening to us. I think we'll leave it there, yeah? We're done? We're pumped up?
Talk about my man.
Who?
Kavshat.
Kavshat? You've changed his fucking name.
Again.
Shavkat. Kavshat. The cat shat. Rachmanov.
Oh, man. This guy. Did you see the get-up he had for the head-to-head as well?
Hang on. You're calling him your guy, but you don't even attempt his name ever. Do you?
He's my guy.
Right, yeah.
He's my guy.
He is a fucking unit. He is massive. Now, that is a big boy.
And did you see him come out with the full regalia on as well? The full Kazakh flag and the headdress and all that? I love that
shit. It was
a
raccoon.
Man. I love that
shit. He had a raccoon on his head.
It looked fucking sick. He is awesome. I cannot wait. He's the guy tomorrow. I think he's going to light up Cowboy Oliveira and absolutely make a statement.
Who, by the way, missed weight?
Who missed weight. And that's Cowboy, a whole different conversation.
Yeah, it is.
Two guys.
We'll save that for
missing weight. Motherfuckers.
There you go. We just thought we'd give you a little taste of what's going on Fight Island. So the rest of the day now is free for you. You can crack on, yeah?
Yeah.
Off to the beach, get yourself in the
You've got a few bits to do, haven't you?
I've got one bit of videoing to do.
Yeah.
I'm going to put me, you've got your Rodman top on, I'll put my Jordan top on.
Oh, last dance on the beach.
We'll get down to the beach and we'll go and enjoy ourselves for a bit of a do. We've got a nice little easy morning tomorrow. First time, actually, we don't have to get up for another COVID test.
Yes.
Eight.
No more COVID tests. We're done.
Last one was this morning, yeah?
Yes.
Eight of the bad boys. Right up me schnoz.
And you're all right. You've got a big nose. I've only got a little nose, so it hurts me more than you.
Yeah, but mine's been broken on a couple of occasions, mate, so I don't think the nooks and crannies in there are straight up, so it does hurt. It's tickling my brain, is the kid, when she's up there. Yeah, so we've had them. No more of them tomorrow. We can have a nice, easy crack on in. And then from 5 p.m. UK time, get yourself stuck into BT Sport Box Office, because that's when all the prelims get underway. And then at 7 p.m.
Clickety-click.
Get on the radio.
Get on TalkSport. I've got the app. For anyone that doesn't know, I've got the app. The app works perfectly. Mm. So I think we're going, if I'm correct, I think we're on TalkSport 1, then TalkSport 2, but then after the Liverpool game, we go back to TalkSport 1. The app is easier because you can just flick about. Well, but anyway, we're on TalkSport from 7.
Do you want me to tell them what's really happening? Right.
Go on then.
Right, You're right. The app is the best way of doing this.
Yes.
Because we're on three different platforms over the whole of the broadcast.
Fucking hell.
Right? Because of the football, I think there's some rugby and there's some other bits as well on the main stations. If you go to the app, it's easy because it's there. We're there. Our fat heads are there. You click on it, you can hear us. But if you want, you can do it online. So it's TalkSport.com. And then we go to TalkSport 2.
Yeah.
And then Khabib. Well, it'll be Robert Whittaker as well as and Janet Cannonier.
The two main fights go to TalkSport.
Main event. We will be on TalkSport. But when I'm saying that, we don't leave any of the other platforms. So at one point, we'll be on TalkSport.com, TalkSport 2, and TalkSport 1 for everything.
Oh, yeah. Bingo. There you go. That makes it easier.
There you go. So get yourself on that. Come and join us. You won't miss us. You won't miss us. Because we will make ourselves known to everybody.
Could be our first ringside commentary and last.
There you go. There you go. Thank you very much for listening to us. You can subscribe via iTunes. Fight Disciples is what you're looking for. Fightdisciples.com is our website for everything else. Get yourself some proper tackle. Obviously, it's Friday now, so it's going to be difficult to get you the ale for tomorrow, but hopefully you've already ordered it throughout the course of the week, so the orders are being processed. We'll get some beer your way. And it's not one of those where you've got to get up in the early hours of the morning for now. It's going to be prime time. Listen, you'll be in bed for fucking 11 o'clock. Easy. Yep. You'll be raw dogging by 11 o'clock, lads. Right? And girls, of course. You can get yourself involved in that as well. Thank you very much for listening. We'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening. If you like what you heard, subscribe via iTunes.